What if the most powerful thing you could do today was die? That's die to yourself. In Romans chapter 12, God calls you to become a living sacrifice. That's a living dead thing, dead to pride and sin, but fully alive to the Holy Spirit. Imagine your everyday life in the public square becoming real worship, not just your singing on Sunday mornings. Stay with this devotional and discover what areas of your life are still resisting God's altar. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are starting a brand new series called Transformed Living, a Romans 12 Roadmap. I hope that you will follow us all the way through Romans chapter 12. So if you haven't heard the previous 11 chapters, go back and check them out. They're on all of the platforms out there. It's really important that we get the context of this book. Let's check out today's question. What specific areas of your life most resists being placed on God's altar? Think about that. What specific areas of your life most resists being placed on God's altar? If you like this daily devotion, I want to encourage you to like, share, subscribe, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Also, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. All right, let's start out by reading Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, whenever you see a therefore, you really need a backup. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's start out with this. He says this, therefore. So because everything comes from him and through him and to him, in other words, you're not left as an orphan in the economy of God. He is actively present in each and every one of your days. Therefore, I want you to do these actions. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to glorify God. That's what he says. So when you're in the public square today, always remember the why behind the what. The therefore is the why behind the what. Why do I do these things? Why do I present my body as a living sacrifice? Because God has everything coming from him, through him and to him to be the glory. All right. He says, I urge you, brethren. So what's important about this is in other parts of Romans, he calls them countrymen. So countrymen would be the distinguishing factor between Israel, the nation, and the Jews, his fellow countrymen, like Romans 11, 14. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. And here he's talking brethren, which could be Jews and Gentiles and Greeks and barbarians. He's saying those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he would take these actions by the mercies of God. So you are a part of the brethren. And some of you are thinking, well, I'm a woman. So then you're part of the sistren. What I'm saying is the family of God. Right? You've been adopted into the family of God. That's who he's speaking to here. He says, I want you to do something by the mercies of God. I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God. Now, he's talked about mercy several times in Romans. So let's just recap. Romans chapter 2, although the word mercy isn't used, it's suggested. And do not think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who, by perseverance and doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. So that idea of the kindness and tolerance and patience of Almighty God. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 9, verses 15. Let's go look at that. We got to remind ourselves about what Paul has said in context of this book, because we break it down to chapters and verses, but they would have just been reading the letter in its entirety. So Romans chapter 9, Verse 15, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. So we see that a part of mercy is God's sovereignty. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 30, let's go there. We see a little bit more about mercy, and one more page. It says, for just as you were once disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that they, because of mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. So, what do we learn about mercy so far? Mercy is God's unmerited favor, and it is within his sovereignty, from him, through him, and to him. Isn't that beautiful? By the mercies of God, in other words, because of the unmerited favor that he's poured out upon your life, present your body as a living and holy sacrifice. Now, think about this. We're to present our bodies, how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to present ourselves as a living, in other words, that we are alive. We don't have a dead faith. We don't have a faith that's boring. We don't have a faith that's being corrupted or falling apart. We have a faith that is alive by the same resurrection spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We have a living faith, a living dead thing. So in other words, we're dead to ourselves, but we're alive to the very things of the Holy Spirit. And it is holy. And some people say, what does holy mean? Well, unholy means unrighteous. So holiness is simply righteousness of God. And I love this because he's challenging us today as we walk into that public square to be living dead things, to dying to ourselves, but living unto God for the glory of God, for from him to him, to him be the glory forever, that we're a living sacrifice. We give of ourselves to God for those around us. What is the greatest expression of one giving of themselves unto the Father for those around him? It's Jesus Christ laying his life down on that cross for your sins and for my sins. And that is how we are to live today. Look at that. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Therefore, I urge you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. We are to live acceptable to him, which is your spiritual service of worship. You want to worship God? It is singing on Sunday. That's a part of it. But more importantly, it's how you live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. It's how you live your life in the public square so that you can be a living and holy sacrifice to God. So who are you going to lay your life down for today? Not for their salvation. Jesus did that. But in humility to draw them to the cross so that they can see the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that Jesus is the best example of a living and holy sacrifice, which was acceptable to you. Help us to model and to live and follow the model of Jesus Christ today. God, where areas of pride and arrogance and boastfulness rise up in our hearts, pull it down so that we can be surrendered, laying down our life for those around us, God. And even if they're still absolute sinners, far from you, God, we know that there's so many people that need the saving knowledge of Jesus. So, Lord, would you go before them? Let them experience your gospel message through the power of your Holy Spirit today. Let your mercy be poured out upon their hearts and their minds today. Go before them in all things. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.